I've got a gold nugget I want to share with you. I found it in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 36. It reads like this: If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then I read again in Romans 8 and in verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free. John 8:32 tells us, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. More such scriptures will come to your mind as you begin to see the subject of freedom emerging from the scriptures. For example, Paul writes Timothy that God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. I can't think of a greater mission in life than to help others know how to enjoy the life which God has supplied. These scriptures that I just quoted in your hearing are scriptures that help us breathe. By that I mean they encourage true freedom. They liberate. I suggest that all of you who wish to be free, truly free, read these verses again and again. Let them permeate your soul and your mind, and you will know what true freedom is. It's not free to sin, it's free from sin, free from condemnation, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad? Don't you want to be free? Trust His word. Claim your freedom. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Welcome back to our lesson today. I'm going to start off the lesson by reading three verses. I'll read from the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 5. I'll read from the book of Luke, chapter 11, and verse 31, and from Luke 21, and verse 15. James, chapter 1, and verse 5 reads like this: If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then from Luke, the 11th chapter, and verse 31, Jesus is talking to his listeners. He said, The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was indeed great. Solomon did indeed have much wisdom. But Jesus is much more greater than Solomon, greater in wisdom, greater in character. Jesus can even give us his wisdom. Listen to what he says in Luke 21 and 15. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Colossians tells us that it is in Jesus, which are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This wisdom and knowledge is indeed a great treasure. Jesus said, A greater than Solomon is here. I'm going to talk about Solomon for a while. And once I have completed my study on Solomon, you will have to admit that indeed Jesus was greater, greater in wisdom, greater in character. Solomon was the third king of Israel, the most intelligent nation leader that ever lived. He was king over Israel during its grandest era. Israel's land area was at its greatest. His wealth was unsurpassed by any period. Monarchs and merchants made pilgrimage to see its splendor and to witness the king's wisdom. Solomon, the decision maker, the scholar, Solomon, the builder. The most splendid temple that was ever built was built by Solomon. Solomon's people prospered. Solomon, the problem solver. Mothers sought his counsel. Young and old, rich and poor, read his proverbs. He was the counselor king. This was Solomon. He was the son of David, the most loved king of Israel, which was honor enough. He was the son of the beautiful Bathsheba, who was loved of David. Yet, in all of this privileged settings, when this young man came to the throne, he saw his need. He felt his inadequacy, and he sought God. When God appeared to him in a dream and offered him any gift his heart desired, the young and tender Solomon made a monumental request. He said, "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" He who became known as the wise man was never more wise than when he asked for wisdom. He was never more humble than when he recognized his own inadequacy. He could not have gotten off to a better start in his life as the king over Israel. But something went wrong. This incredible king appears to a lot of readers to have lacked credibility. You know what I mean, credibility. A few years ago, the expression credibility gap came into use. We discover that many prominent leaders said one thing and did another. They claimed to represent a way of life, but they lived another. Hypocrite is the strong term applied to such lies. So, why should I listen to you? Is the question that has become difficult to answer. So, King Solomon, you are wise. You have written more than 2,000 proverbs. You have written more than 1,000 songs. And in them all, you counsel and guide. You warn and you rebuke. But you went off on a wild tangent of your own. You did more than any of us ever dreamed of doing. You speak of fools. But Solomon, you should talk. One of the saddest stories in the chronicles of sacred scripture is seen in the degradation of the wise man. The fall of this brilliant man to the status of a fool is a tragedy that history does not cover up. From saint to sinner, from wise to stupid, the gap is great. It was exceedingly great when this wisest of all men stumbled. He started out under the banner of God, yet he turned aside. We do not try to defend Solomon's action, but I do pose this question. Can this man, with all of his brilliance, countered by the depth of his apostasy, give counsel for today that is worth listening to? We need to frame an answer to our question. We start by admitting that Solomon and any of us would be far more effective teachers and counselors if we were perfect. But he was not, and we are not. However, if we are not careful, we will miss the truth of the issue here. And the issue is, the message that Solomon has given us is God's message, not Solomon's. As faulty as Solomon was, and for that matter, as faulty as many of the other writers of Scripture were, the prime fact to be recognized is that the message is God's message. It comes through humans, sometimes faulty messengers, but the message is true and it needs to be heeded.